jazz up the music a little bit, and I'm liking this stuff that we're doing right now. Hi, everybody. This is Larry Jacobs. It is good. I like that. I may switch that over to the other one all the time. That's great. Okay? Thank you. This is Larry Jacobs, Education Talk Radio, and we're here today. We have a terrific show. We have a half hour to spend with a very busy man. The gentleman is none other than Mr. Jose Rico, Executive Director of the White House Initiative on Educational Excellence for Hispanics. He's located, of course, in Washington, D.C., since that's where the White House is, and it is their educational initiative. It's a wonderful thing, and I'm going to give you all the websites, et cetera. We have a half hour to spend with Jose Rico, and I'm going to bring him on right now. Jose, how are you?
I'm doing great, Larry. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's my pleasure, and we're going to make it to, for posterity's sake, because after we're done, we're going to archive this show over on our site, which is education-talkradio.org, so if folks have to leave in the middle, they'll be able to listen to all your good words. And first of all, I have to congratulate you. When did you get this position as Executive Director of the White House Initiative? Go ahead.
So I officially came on as the Executive Director in January and was in the office since 2009 as a Deputy Director. And before that, I was a high school principal for 7 years in Chicago.
I know you were. Now, that was tell me out in Latin arts. Is that my right? Latin arts high school?
So it's the Multicultural Arts High School.
Great. Excellent. And you are so well qualified for this. And I have to say something. I want to say you must have one heck of a mom and dad.
I have great parents. My parents are great. You know, they really taught me a work ethic that, you know, when you work hard, when you, you know, follow the rules, when you, make sure that everybody that's in your community and in your family works together, that you could really accomplish a lot here. And they were able to provide to me some great value. So I'm eternally grateful for how they've done and showed me, you know, through their hard work, what you could accomplish if you just, you know, keep at it.
Right. It's absolutely exciting. Just let me tell folks, this is your biography up on the website, but you were born, Jose Rico, in the small – I feel like I'm Ralph Edwards on This Is Your Life, the old show. You were born in the small town of Jeruco, Mexico. You were 7 years old when you came to this country. Your dad was a railroad worker. Your mom was a housewife. Your sister was born after the family settled in Chicago. And now you are the executive director of the White House Initiative on Educational Excellence for Hispanics in Washington, D.C. Absolutely
correct.
Unbelievable. You and they must be so proud. It's just great.
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, I think, you know, what we know, what we know, and actually what the president knows very well also is that, you know, through education, we've been able to achieve the American dream. And that's what my job is to make sure that this opportunity is something that's spread throughout our country. And that's actually has been one of the main areas of priorities for the president.
And we here on Education Talk Radio do a lot of work with the group called ALAS, the Association of Latino Administrators and Superintendents. And we also work with NABE, the National Association of Bilingual Educators. But, Jose, I'd like you to answer this question because it might be on some people's mind. Why do we need in particular a White House initiative for educational excellence in Hispanics, for Hispanics? And I'm saying that from the positive side that Latino Hispanic people are a good group to have in this country. So why do we need a separate initiative for them?
So that's actually a great question, Larry, and let me give you a little bit of the history in terms of how this office was started. So, you know, over 20 years ago when a lot of the reports started coming out in terms of the educational crisis that our country was in, one of the things that we found out that in all of these indicators, whether we were talking about the number of adults that had a college degree or the number of high school graduates or the number of young people that were enrolling in early learning programs, we always saw Hispanic numbers really, really low. And so one of the things that actually President Bush was the one that started this office because many people in the
community. Bush won. Yeah, that was President
Bush. Right. Papa Bush. Yeah. It was President Bush won. And he started this office because he saw the value of really looking at this community and trying to see whatever initiative that came out of Washington, D.C., that there was some attention paid to the Hispanic community. Back then, it was seen, you know, the saying was that back then was in the year 2020, the Hispanic community was going to be, you know, one in five kids in the country. And now, as we know, it's 2010, and that's the case today. So that's one of the reasons that that the office got started. And obviously, you know, given the growth nationally right now, there's one out of every five kids in the public education system is Hispanic. So this is one of the reasons why we think it's a priority.
It is a priority, and I know this from talking with the groups ALAS and NABI and all this, and seeing it on TV. A lot of, it used to be that our Hispanic folks were in California, Arizona, Texas, and Florida. That was it. That basically was it. Now the Hispanic population, as it becomes part of the American culture, which it has been for a long time now, is everywhere. I mean, you can go to small towns in Minnesota, and there are a lot of people there. So when we talk about an educational initiative for Hispanics, we're talking now about the entire country more so than ever before, as well it should be, I might add.
Correct. And you know, and one of the things, one of the areas of work that we're doing when we were just in Providence, Rhode Island, with the mayor over there. And one of the things that the mayor is doing is he's putting together an educational plan to address and make sure that all of their students are able to get a good quality education, and he's working really hard to be able to make that happen. And so what our office does is we're helping them. We held a day-long summit with people from the whole educational spectrum, and even though their majority of the student population is Hispanic, the plan that we put it forward is actually for every student, because we know every student will be able to benefit from the efforts that our office and the mayor are doing, and now we're seeing that many of these cities and many states that could really benefit from coming up with a plan that benefits every student. So just as every state now has a significant Hispanic population, we're also saying that many other jurisdictions that have a majority Hispanic population, we also are not excluding any student from any of the programs or benefits that might come from the work that our office is doing.
Which is just fantastic, because obviously, I'm up here in Boston, and when you talk about Providence, Rhode Island, I know that you're talking about a stretch of the country, Fall River, New Bedford, that has many, many Portuguese citizens in it. There's a big Portuguese culture down there, so I'm thrilled. Okay, that what you're saying, that the good work you're doing affects, and it obviously does. But I'm glad you said it affects everybody, and it's for everybody.
Correct. And, you know, and again, I think that, you know, the time when we could think of an educational program that's specifically for one group of students is over.
Right.
We have such big numbers in every population that, you know, even right now when you look about college affordability and what the secretary has been able to do in doubling the number of Pell Grants that students are receiving, and we also increased the amount of Pell Grants by an extra $1,000, we're seeing that really benefited the Hispanic community tremendously. But obviously, it has benefited everybody. So this effort to really increase the number of Hispanics to go to college was not just targeted to the Hispanic community. It has really benefited, you know, moms who want to go back to community college and get better skills, for folks that wanted to go back and complete their associates, I mean their bachelors. So it's really benefited a cross section of our population.
It really does, and it not only benefits the cross section of the population, it benefits everybody. I keep saying this, and Jose, I know when I'm talking to you, I'm preaching to the choir, but we're damn fools if we don't tap into all of the wonderful cultures that exist in our country and all that brain power that's going with it, which has sometimes in the past been wasted, and we can't do that anymore. We just can't do that anymore. The kids come in from other countries, their parents bring them in, much like your mom and dad did. We've got to create the educational the educational things that make sense for them.
You know,
we're not brain draining out of here.
Yeah, you know, and the president made a terrific point at the recent State of the Union, right, where 20 years ago we were the most educated country in the world. We were number one in the world in the number of adults that had a college degree. We're dropped down to 16th right now. And it's not because we are not working hard. It's what's happening is that other countries have invested a lot more resources in educating their adult population. So we flatlined and they've gone up. What that means for us as a country is that in the next 9 years, we need to educate close to 8 million additional adults to be able to be number one again. That's 8 million adults that will get a degree both in either an associate's degree or a bachelor's degree or a graduate degree. And out of those 8 million, more than 4.5 million have to come from the Hispanic community.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Well, yeah. So when we look at the gap right now that exists between the adults that have a college degree and those that need to in order for us to be again the most educated country in the world, to be able to outcompete other countries in the world, to grow our economy, we have to focus within the Hispanic community.
You're gonna be one busy guy, Jose. I gotta tell you.
Well, we've been extremely busy, Larry. We've been all over the place.
You've got a pile
of
papers on your desk about a mile high. We're talking to Jose Rico, who is the wonderful executive director of the White House Initiative on Educational Excellence for Hispanics. Obviously, he's based in Washington D.C. I would normally give the website, Jose, but the website is so long. Can I just say to people to Google the White House Initiative on Educational Excellence for Hispanics? You guys do make long websites. You're like the Defense Department. Everything's like too much there. Right.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think you and I know, Larry, the only website that matters right now seems like it's Google, right?
Bingo. All you have to do is know what it's called. The White House Initiative on Educational Excellence for Hispanics. Okay, and Jose Rico, our guest today, is the executive director. Talk to me for a second about the Hispanic Community Action Summits. What's going on
sure.
with that?
Sure. So actually, we just came from a great summit that we had in Lorain County, Ohio, right outside of Cleveland. We did it over at Lorain County Community College, which is a wonderful community college. It's actually part of their claim to fame is that they have invested millions of dollars to spur an entrepreneurial program to start their own small business. And their million-dollar investment has created hundreds of millions of dollars in return in job creation and product. So we were there. Yeah, we had 400 people in attendance from the whole state of Ohio. And what our White House Hispanic Action Summits really are is a way in which the community comes together to talk about the issues that they want to talk about. They set the agenda. They're the ones that pretty much create the agenda the first hour that we're there. And then for the rest of the day, for the next 5 hours, we have about in Ohio, we had 18 administration officials from the Small Business Administration, the Department of Labor, Health and Human Services, the Department of Education, three other agencies that were there. And we sat down in roundtables for 5 hours to come up with action plans based on the important bread and butter issues of the community there. It's a way in which we really want to be able to show that in order for us to solve these big problems, we need to come together. We all have skin in the game. Government is not the answer. It's not going to solve everything, but that we need to come together with our own self-interest to get things done at the community level. So that was our 14th summit. We've already we started them last summer. And we have six more to go.
State by state? Is it state by state? Or
yeah, so it's state by state. We basically go to the places where there's a high number of Hispanic population and a place where the leadership wants us to participate. So we're going to San Antonio, Texas with Secretary Duncan next week. The mayor of San Antonio invited us. Like I mentioned, the third week of January, we're in Providence. The mayor, Tavares, there in Providence, Rhode Island, invited us there. The first one we did this year was in San Jose, California. And then the following weeks, we're going to be in Durham, North Carolina, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Chicago, Illinois, and Kansas City, Kansas.
And just you're saying, I mean, it just goes to prove the point. You said that the community summits are going to be in places where there's a high percentage of Latino folks, Durham, North Carolina, and Kansas City, Missouri. Most people would say, you know, well, we have very few people of Latino descent. But in fact, the Latinos are everywhere and should be, and understanding what those different needs are, et cetera, I think it's just great. It just speaks to the point of how wonderfully pervasive this is through our society.
Yeah, and you know, and the message, you know, when we had the president of the college there, we had a Congressman Kucinich and Congressman Cantor there, and the message that is loud and clear across all of these summits is that the community where we're having these summits needs the full participation
yep.
of the Latino leaders in order for the community to be viable, and the folks that are there working on the issues that are pressing to them. These are the bread and butter issues about, you know, how does a new health exchange program is going to work for me? What do I need to know to make sure that my housing does not get foreclosed on?
Mm-hmm.
How do I access the new income-based repayment guidelines that the president just announced that will lower my student loan payment by an average of $200? These are basics that, again, are for everyone, and we'll work with everyone to be able to provide that information, because at the end of the day, we know this is one of the things that we hear loud and clear wherever we go, is that many people in our communities where you're at, Larry, and the people that are listening to us do not hear about these programs and these changes that the president has made because of all of this, the dysfunction that's happening right now in Washington, D.C. So the president made a very a call to us that was very simple, and it talks about who he is. Last summer, he said, I want all of you to go out into the country and to tell people and work with people around the issues that are important to them. And so that's why we've been out here for almost 2 years.
And I have to ask you, considering gridlock, which I think everybody is pretty darn sick of these days, the gridlock in Washington, D.C., and I'm not talking about the traffic, I'm talking about the policy, okay?
Right.
Gridlock and traffic we expect, the other way we don't. But you mentioned Congressman Cantor was with you on the summits, and that was that Eric Cantor you were referring to?
No, Karen. Karen Cantor.
Oh,
she's a congresswoman from Lorain County.
Okay, I just wasn't sure. Maybe the dam is breaking, you know, but I guess not.
No, but again, we would have, you know, whether it was Congressman Cantor or Congressman Boehner, we would love to have had them there to see how it's important that, you know, people are coming together from all stripes to be able to work on these issues. Because when we pass these loan and these grant programs, they're for everyone. We don't care whether you're, you know, what side of the aisle you sit. We're there to make sure that that every American has access to these accomplishments and these programs that we've been able to pass.
You're doing a great job. Jose Rico, Executive Director of the White House Initiative on Educational Excellence for Hispanics. Jose, I want to ask you, we're going to start to wind down in a few minutes, but I want to ask you about early education.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which is a hot button. I'm finding it's a hot button. When we do our radio show, we get a lot of listeners. We're doing a lot of shows about early education. And tell me about tell me the role in particular for Hispanic and Latino education, how it's affecting those communities. Go ahead, you're on.
Sure. So you know, just let me give you just some overall baseline numbers of where we're at within the education attainment of the Hispanic community. So currently right now, only 13% of the Hispanic adult population has a bachelor's degree, compared to about close to 40% of the general population. Yeah, we have about 60% of our students, only 60% graduate from high school, so we have about a 40% dropout rate of our students from high school. This is nationally. One of the ways in which the secretary and the president think that we could really make a huge impact in reversing those numbers is by providing quality early education programs across the country. Currently, right now, the Hispanic community has the largest number of children that are eligible to go into early education programs. Right now, more than one in four of every child in the country, more than 25%, in some places, you know, over 50% of every child in our communities could qualify for early learning programs, but we are the community that participates the least in early learning programs.
Really?
One of the biggest reasons is because there's simply not enough space and enough funding for these programs and communities. So you have waiting lists of hundreds of kids to be able to enroll in a program, and since parents got to work or they got to go to school, they drop off the kids at a neighbor's house or a family member's house, which is, you know, most of the time not a good learning environment for them. They might get the love that the child needs, but that will not prepare them to go to kindergarten and be able to read and write when they graduate from kindergarten. So we see, you know, we know that this is the best investment. It's for the lowest possible amount of dollars, we're going to be able to get the biggest educational bang for the buck. That when we are able to provide these early learning programs, these parenting programs for parents to get the parents involved in school, and for parents to know the importance of providing these educational opportunities for their children. If we do that, we will see that the dropout rate will start decreasing and hopefully eliminating it, and then we're going to see our college graduation rates increase significantly. So the president and the secretary have really made a big push in providing these early learning programs across the country.
Well, that is good news, because I know how important it is, and I know some politicians out there, I'm not naming names, don't believe that is good, that the early learning education is important, and it's extremely important. And remember, we used to be number one, and now we're number 17. So
Massachusetts has a great motto, and I think that's one of the reasons why you all do so well educational in the world, really.
What's our motto?
So you have a good motto of
motto.
Early learning.
I thought you said motto. What's our motto? I don't know what I'm saying.
I think your motto is Go Red Sox.
We do. We're number one.
That's right.
We're number one. We couldn't be prouder.
Exactly.
And if you can't hear me, I'll say it a little louder. Right? We are number
right,
one.
Right, Larry. That's right.
Okay. And I'm proud of that. And I live here, and I'm happy about it. Now, let me ask you something, Jose. I know you sit near William Mendoza over at the Initiative for Native Americans. Am I correct?
Correct. Correct. Yes.
And I have to ask, you guys like shoot spitballs back and forth at each other through straws?
Not spitballs anymore. We usually throw the little mouse pads, the little foam mouse pads. We just flip them across to each other.
Right. I want you to do me a favor. I want you, when we're done here, just a few minutes, you tell Bill that I am wearing my Haskell T-shirt today.
Oh, your high school T-shirt?
No, my Haskell T-shirt.
Haskell.
It's the college he went to. It's the Haskell it's in Kansas. I'm pretty sure it's in Kansas. Okay, that's his alma mater.
I will tell him that. I will tell him that, and I'll give a shout out. What was your for the Haskell? The Haskell Haskell College, right?
Haskell. I think it's Haskell College. It's one of the Indian universities.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it is absolutely fantastic. It's a great place. And my wife works a lot with the Native Americans, the Indians. And when she was there, she got me this great T-shirt. And coincidentally, I'm wearing it today. So you have to tell Mendoza that.
I will. Well, what were the colors, by the way, Larry?
The colors are purple and gold.
Oh, wow. Those are really loud colors. Well, it's a good
Mardi
Gras
T-shirt. And I believe he's going, you're going to laugh. My idea was to call the team the white guys, but I think they call it the Indians.
Oh, is that right?
I actually think they do. You can ask him that. Okay? I would have called it the white guys, but that's beside the point.
I will let him know that, Larry.
Thanks. Will you come back on and visit us again in a few months and keep us appraised of what's going on?
Anytime, Larry. We'll love to do it.
Well, you were wonderful. I know you're doing great work out there, and I can't thank you enough. And David for setting this up, and thanks for taking time out of a busy day.
Thank you. Anytime, and again, whenever we have the time, let's do it again. And I'll go over there right now and talk to William.
And tell him he's going to be on my show. He's scheduled for March 27th. You can sit in with him if you want.
I'll tell him to be careful. I'll tell him, you know, to be careful.
I'm going to wear my T-shirt, Haskell.
There you go.
Okay. Thank you, Jose.
Thank you, Larry.
Bye-bye. Jose Rico, wonderful guy, executive director of the White House Initiative on Educational Excellence for Hispanics in Washington, D.C. You can reach Jose at jose.rico, R-I-C-O, at ed.gov. And that's, of course, part of the Department of Education. The website is so long, it's ridiculous. Just Google White House Initiative on Educational Excellence for Hispanics. And if you want to also not only see what they're doing, but read something really inspiring, read Jose's biography, which is on there, because his parents came over when he was just a young boy of 7. He's a young man now, two young kids. And look what great education and great community involvement did, and it can reflect for everybody through the Latino community. And we learn that often, and it's great. We're going to have this show archived over at education-talkradio.org, just as we always do. I want to thank you all for listening. I'm Larry Jacobs, and we did Education Talk Radio. And thank you, Jose. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, President Obama, for coming up with all this. This is great. We're looking forward to having you back with us again tomorrow. Have a wonderful, wonderful day to all my listeners. Thank you.